This is the Summer Breakfast Club with Andrew Mays and Scott Gullen.
Plenty of action in the English Premier League across the weekend, but really, who cares when you're playing Manchester City at home in the FA Cup, Scotty? I was very excited when I saw the draw. Russell Milton, good morning to you.
Morning, Maisie. Morning, Scott. How are you?
Oh, Manchester City coming to Cheltenham Town. How good is that?
I know, it's amazing, really. It was... The first tie out of the hat as well last week. It was about this time last week, actually.
Yeah. But
it was fantastic ties for us. It's just a shame the fans can't be there. But it was ironic, really. We played in the second round last year against a team called Port Vale, and we were 1-0 up, and we ended up losing 3-1, and they drew Man City in the next game. So we were like, oh, chance missed.
Yeah.
You know, 12 months on, we get them at home on Saturday afternoon live on BBC One. So, we're looking forward to it.
Oh, that is going to be unreal. So tell us about, did you all watch the draw together? Can you get together at the moment or not really?
Well, no, we trained in the day. Actually, we had a day off because we played on the Sunday in the last round of the Cup. So we had the day off on the Monday. It was done at 7:30 at night, so everyone's sort of at home. But my phone went wild as soon as the draw was made, and you could imagine the WhatsApp group and the staff and all that was going around, and it was good. Quite what we're going to do, I haven't got a clue, Maisie, to be honest.
But... Wow. Do you park the bus, Russ, or do you park the bus or run at them, or what's the run and gun?
Well, we've got three ploys. I think we can park two buses. I think we can keep kicking the ball out of the ground. And the third one, I think we'll just form a ring of 10 players around the ball and if they come and get it.
Do you play the motivational videos of former great upsets in this comp, which there have been many?
There has been many, yeah. There has been loads. It's a Spain for, isn't it, the FA Cup? Fourth round. It's the first time the club have got there since 2002, I think, when I played and we lost to West Brom. So it was a great draw. It's probably the best draw that the club's ever had, really. Like I said, it's just a shame there's no fans in the ground. And we're obviously going to try and get through to that, so give it a right good go and enjoy the occasion, enjoy your playing up again.
And what City's games around this fixture? Will they hopefully rest a couple, or what are you predicting?
Yeah. Well, they could put three teams out, couldn't they? I wouldn't have a clue. Whoever Pep puts out, they're going to be, they're going to be world-class players. They played 24 hours ago, didn't they? I was watching through my fingers. They beat Crystal Palace 4-0, didn't they? And I think, they're playing against teams in the same league and international players, and they're having like 80% of the ball. So, it's going to be a real big task, but we're going to enjoy it. They're also playing in 48 hours time. They play Aston Villa, I think. Yeah, Aston Villa at home, and then they play obviously us on Saturday afternoon. So we're quite busy as well. We played Saturday, drew, and then we play tomorrow in 24 hours time against Newport, which is the top of the table clash, and we play then Saturday. So the games, like we said before in the last weeks, coming thick and fast, and they've certainly got an array of players they can choose from. We're not quite as luxurious as that.
What are you going to say to Pep when you meet on the pitch pre-game?
Well, hopefully we'll come into our office after and have a glass of wine or something. It's his 50th birthday as well around the time, so we'll probably, we've nice chairman to try and get him something so we can give it to him on the day.
Now, it's a fair payroll. Kevin De Bruyne's on about 350,000 quid a week. Raheem Sterling's on 300,000 quid a week. Will any of your boys be asking for a pay rise after this one, Russ?
Well, yeah, we've all been in already. we got knocked back, though. The door's firmly shut in our faces. But, we might cheekily ask Man City if we can have the prize money. See what happens. Because you obviously get money for the game, for going through. You get money for the TV, and also there's prize money on it. So yeah, the boys want a bonus, and obviously I don't know whether it'll be an actual appearance bonus or whether they'll change it, or it'll be a win bonus yet. There's a few discussions going on for the rest of the week about that.
Oh, fantastic. No, we can't wait. I'll definitely be watching on Sunday morning here, Australian time, just as we wake up too, which will be perfect timing for us. So we might even try and catch up on Monday morning to find out what it was like playing the might of Manchester City. On the Premier League too, obviously Man City, they've been a bit of the sleepers in this competition, really. I mean, they've been sort of sitting in and around the big four, or the top four rather, but really have made their move over the last couple of weeks. You're hitting a little bit of good time, Russ.
Oh, no. Yeah, and this is about Sergio Aguero in the team as well, who's one of the all-time record goal scorers in the Premier League. So, they've come really good, haven't they? They were awesome yesterday against Crystal Palace, 4-0. Palace, I don't think Palace had a shot on target or a shot. It felt like they didn't anyway. But, if you'd have said, I think it's about 6 weeks ago, they were sort of mid-table, weren't they? And the same could be said for Man United, who were just above them. But both of them have been on really good runs, and Man City are just keeping into gear nicely, I think. They won the five in a row, and they're looking really good. And the thing about City is you expect them to score loads of goals. They seem to be getting that back into their game, but they've not conceded many. There's 13 goals they've conceded, which is easily the best in the league. Not something that they're famed for, but if they're shoring up one end and scoring loads at the other, it's a great recipe for them to win the league. And I think they're my favourites this year to nick it. And, I think it's a really good season, isn't it, at the moment? It's really shaping up really well. It's really tight. It hasn't been like this for a few years. But Man City are, they're edging to be my favourites so far.
And what about United and Liverpool, the big clash, nil all draw?
Yeah, it was a strange one, Scott. They didn't really get going, either teams. They had spells. Liverpool were good first half an hour. Man United could have nicked it. They had two late chances. Certainly Paul Pogba had a great chance, didn't need to score. I think both teams would have been probably happy, and both teams would have been just thought to themselves, well, if we'd have gone for it a bit more, we could have nicked a win. But, when you're playing your local rivals and teams that are in and around you in the league, it's probably important not to lose those games and lose, points on who's around you. So I would say they probably came away with it okay. You can see that Jurgen Klopp probably settled for it. With about 20 minutes to go. Both teams certainly Liverpool have got a lot of injuries. I think that's probably what's harming their progress at the minute. They've won for four games now, only 3 points in 12. So they need to get back onto some sort of form very quickly. Otherwise, they could see both Manchester teams getting away from them.
Three wins and a loss for Arsenal, Russ, and they're back in action in about 25 minutes' time against Newcastle. What are you expecting this morning in the Premier League?
Yeah, I'm hoping they're going to win. They've got to get back into, as you said, they've had a terrible December. I think it was November and December after a decent start, which saw them slip down to about 3 or 4 points off the relegation zone. So yeah, they've picked up, done well. 10 points out of 12. You would expect them to beat Newcastle. Newcastle haven't won for a while. You'd expect to get into them, and I would like to see some sort of resurgence in form in Aubameyang in particular, who's their star man up front. That Lacazette's done well, the other forward. But I would expect Arsenal to nick it by a couple of goals, I hope.
All right. Good luck, Russ. But better luck on Sunday morning, Australian time. We cannot wait, Russ. Looking forward to seeing Cheltenham live on the TV as well.
I'll give you a wave.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
History making.
Awesome. Just give us a wave when you're just brushing past Pep. Thanks so much for your time, Russ. Good luck.
We'll do.
Now, a special tournament is about to take place, which unfortunately was postponed earlier this year. But did you know that veterans cricket is one of the fastest growing sports in Australia? And I don't want to cast aspersions, but you and Whitey are heading towards veterans status.
I know. I am.
May well be up for the...
I could be. I need to know what the qualifications are.
Well, maybe we can find out. Now, Greg Johnson joins us on the line, veterans cricket Victoria President. Greg, good morning to you.
Morning, Andrew. Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
No, thank you for coming on. Are you finally happy? Obviously, the tournament for the veterans delayed from last year. Finally happy to be getting underway over the next couple of days.
Yes, just a bit of clarification. What was cancelled was our national championships,
right,
where Victoria plays against all the other states and New Zealand and ACT. We're hoping that this year the national championships will again be run. So, to help our selectors, we're running today and on Sunday trial matches, and we're calling them Metro versus Country in the over 50s, over 60s and over 70s, which will help the selectors pick our Victorian teams for the national championship.
Now, over 70s, how many nominations do you get for the over 70s team? Because I love the fact that there are plenty of guys who are still putting their hand up to play cricket.
Well, you might be surprised, but in Victoria, we've actually got, I think, 15 registered players who are over 80. The trouble is we haven't got anyone for them to play against. But, no, they play in our comp. In the over 70s, we'd probably have around about 200 players in the over 70s.
Wow.
Over 60s, about 400, and over 50s, about 800.
So any...
Plus, I must say, we've got, we just started a women's team. Victoria's, we're just our first women's veterans team played last year. They're over 40.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Any modified rules for the over 70s?
Yes, we generally, the boundary's in at about 55 metres, so that's in a bit from the fence line. And, of course, you know, we don't have blokes sliding into the fence when they're fielding. generally play 40 overs a team on our normal Sunday competition, and it's normally 40 over games. Generally, batsmen retire if they reach 40, and a maximum of 8 overs a bowler. So while we're still 21 in our heads and very competitive, we're also very conscious of ensuring a good participation, that all our players who want to get a bat or want to get a bowl have that opportunity.
Well, you've just lost Adam White, unfortunately. There's no retiring at 40 for him, so that's a big setback.
Tell us about some of the old boys. Do they still enjoy, or how much does their body fail them when they're still trying to bowl a bit of heat at that age?
Yeah, look, it's really a wonderful fraternity. It's like a physical men's shed. The guys just, they absolutely love it. They love being on the ground, and just as much, you know, our lunch breaks and after the games, you know, where we all try to outdo each other with stories of our past glories. But we really, really enjoyed it. The blokes just, they love it. We don't, you know, we cater for a lot of single men, and you know, I know from a lot of them firsthand, they just simply say that, you know, the morning they wake up and there's a game of cricket on that day is the highlight of their week.
Oh, fantastic, Greg. Now, we go all over Victoria and RSN 927. And Australia, on the app, of course. If people want to get involved, where can they head to? If they want to, they're 70 years old listening to this and would love to get back involved in cricket and haven't played for a few years, where can they go to?
Yep, well, not just 70, though, but we cater for over... Yeah. We have an over 50s, over 60s and over 70s. We've got 73 teams across Victoria. We're probably the only association that's Victoria-wide. Our website, we've got a good website. It's Veterans Cricket Victoria, all one word, veteranscricketvictoria.org.au, where our teams are listed. People can see where our clubs are, and just simply contact your local club. You'll be made most welcome.
Fantastic, Greg. Thanks so much for joining us today. All the best with the Victorian Metro v Country Championships over the next week. And then hopefully those national champs can take place later in the year.
Thanks very much.
One of the most exciting young lists this year, Scotty, the Sydney Swans. I'm very much looking forward to seeing what a lot of their youngsters can produce. They did plenty last year under all sorts of pressure up in the hub, but great to see them return again in 2021. I'm looking forward to their development. Hopefully they can help this man a bit in the midfield. Josh Kennedy joins us on this Tuesday morning. Josh, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for jumping on. Now, first of all, how was your off-season? I know I've seen you travel a little bit, but obviously restricted to Australia. Did you do any travel domestically, or did you happen to get anywhere different?
Not really. We given the 8 weeks on the road, it was good just to get home and be back in your own bed and not living out of a suitcase. So. I did that for most of the off-season, then just had a couple of weeks down in Melbourne, the back end of November, once the borders opened there with the family down there, which was nice too. But otherwise, pretty uneventful.
So, Josh, 14th pre-season or 15th, one of the two. How do you approach it, the body, the mind, etc.?
Yeah, look, it's not too dissimilar, to be honest. I'm still, you know, you guess you assess at the end of the year and try and learn or take some learnings out of the year and what you can improve on as an individual, as a team. And then, you know, after a month and a half or 2 months off, you know, the hunger is certainly still there, and then you're ready to go again and just trying to get better in any way and as an individual, but more importantly, as a team as well.
We saw a few photos of Buddy the other day, and obviously that gets everyone excited. Have you spoken a little bit? You're both getting towards the end of your careers. Do you speak about that sort of stuff at training or just away from training at all? Or is that conversations you purely have with, you know, either your family or your manager? Or who do you have those conversations with, if at all?
With regards to...
Just in terms of being in the twilight, enjoying your footy, trying something different at the end of your careers?
We're not blind. Like, we know that we're, I guess I speak for myself here, you know, I know that I'm closer to the end than the start. That's clear. And you have to keep, your post-football career in mind as well. And clubs all over the, you know, I'm sure every club, are very good at supporting that with off-field, study or work experience and stuff like that. But as long as I'm still in it and my body feels good and Buddy's the same, you know, you're giving it absolutely 110%. I think, if I can say one thing for him is that he's certainly not conceding anything other than the fact that he's going to get back and play and be an extreme competitor and a huge contributor to our side.
Josh, it was a crazy season, and I think there seemed to be more losers than winners out of it. But the Swans, even though you obviously didn't play finals, just the way some of your kids embraced it and sort of progressed must have been very exciting for you guys.
Yeah, it is. It's an exciting time with a lot of young players that are, you know, hardworking, willing to take the next step, and wanting to improve. The positive from last year was that we were, you know, apart from a couple of games throughout the course of the year, we were in most of the games and competitive. So, you know, our next step is to close that gap, and we need to be on the right side of those games and winning those games. So, you know, with the new players that we've drafted, traded, quite a bit of a change in the coaching staff as well. It's pretty exciting, and looking forward to continuing through this pre-season, getting everyone training together, which, you know, we weren't able to do a whole lot last year as we went into the back end of pre-season and seeing how we can all gel together.
I mean, Sydney, over your journey, there's always found a way to compete at the pointy end, but as far as a smattering of youth. Is this the most exciting group you've had?
Oh, look, I mean, I can only speak on behalf of the last, I guess, 12 years that I've been at Sydney. And it's generally been relatively experienced throughout that time. I suppose when I first came up in 2010, we were pretty young as well. In my time, it is... And it happens pretty quickly, but it is an exciting time. It's an exciting group. You know, the foundations are certainly there for a strong period ahead. But you know, it's all hearsay and talk and the hard work and the implementation has to be done to make it successful. It's certainly not an easy game, and I'm sure every team in the competition would be thinking the same thing. So time will tell, I guess.
Will any new faces join you in the midfield this year, Josh? Or will we see extended midfield minutes for someone like Nick Blakey? I've really enjoyed James Rowbottom's development over the last couple of years.
Yeah, Rowie's really cemented himself in there, and Nick will, as you said, will certainly step up, play more minutes. Braden Campbell, which we picked up, good. Looks like he'll have a pretty immediate impact, either in the midfield or half forward, half back. Callum Mills is doing a bit, spending a bit more time this pre-season up in the midfield as well. So there's a number, probably a few that I haven't mentioned, but you know, to be able to get as many numbers through there as possible is something that we're working on, and yeah, I think it's time will tell. I'm looking forward to getting out there and playing games, and you know, having a few test runs against opposition.
And one last one before we let you go. Now, John Longmire, he's spent a long time up there as well. Has he brought anything different, or how does he... We always hear a lot down here about Clarko and how he tells different stories and reinvents himself and sometimes, you know, is happy to make a goose of himself around the players to change things up a bit. Is Horse like that as well, or is he same old Horse?
I guess he's the same old Horse, but he's the same old Horse. Horse has never been afraid to take the piss out of himself, that's for sure. you know, he's not gonna change too much. But we do have you know, Ben Matthews we've got from Melbourne and Dom Pike from WA and obviously the ex Adelaide coaches. You know, added some fresh faces to the coaching staff, and our medical department's changed a little bit too. So it's a fresh feel. It's a good feeling, especially to have someone like me that has, you know, has often been similar faces for a lot of my time there. It's quite refreshing, and it's an exciting time for everyone.
Looking forward to seeing a lot of the youngsters up there in Sydney this year, Josh. Thanks so much for your time, as always, on RSN 927. Good luck for the rest of the preseason, and hope to see you running out there round one.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Josh Kennelly there joining us, the Sydney Swans co-captain.
They're asleep, but they're good.
Yeah.
Their kids are very good.
There was another, because Isaac Heaney returned to training this week, which was a good tick for him, but Braden Campbell he mentioned there.
Yes.
I saw him play a few under-18s games. Can kick.
Was he a high draft pick?
Yeah, I think he went top 10 maybe.
See, they took Tom Hickey at his about 15th club. How good is it if you're a journeyman ruckman?
You get a lot more chances.
You get many gigs.
You do get more chances.
Like I asked Josh, so if you reflect on hub life, there were a lot of clubs that just... You just put a line through. Yeah, they didn't handle it. Collingwood, Melbourne, Essendon, etc. Sydney were one of the winners, big time. Well, they won a few games they shouldn't have on the back of kids. It's a good mix there. Tom McCartan going back. They've just found little things there that will work. And, like, Buddy, let's be honest. If he plays, suddenly they're legit top 8 team.
Yep, absolutely. Do you reckon as well, if Buddy can get the full season, they will make the top 8?
Yeah, I do.
They've got a good advantage up there in Sydney. It hasn't been so much over the last couple of years.
Some of these, the kids we talk about, some of them are already at 50 games.
Yep.
Some, like Heaney and that, are 100.
Yep.
Mills, close to 100. I don't know exactly. But those types are now ready to impact games.
Ollie Florent was very good last year.
Oh, yeah, he's a good player. They've found more than we thought.
Yeah, they keep doing it, don't they? Don't forget, have you ever joined the club that is Sydney?
No, I haven't.
Swans offer flexible membership options to cater for every situation, which is very important in these times. Visit membership.sydneyswans.com.au to secure your membership today. Membership.sydneyswans.com.au. Know there's a lot of South Melbourne supporters who listen to the show, who follow the Swans, so make sure you get in and get in early. Not a lot of positive feedback for your prediction that they could be a top 8 sleeper. Heading to Amy Park to see some football finally back on, which has been fantastic in the A-League over the last couple of weeks. The star striker of the competition, let alone Melbourne City, joins us on the line this morning. Jamie McLaren, good morning and congratulations on scoring the winner on the weekend.
Morning, guys. Thank you very much.
Always good to get an easy tap into the back of the net from a nice cross.
Yeah, that's where I do my best work in the system.
Tell us about the experience playing back at Amy Park. Crowds back, the atmosphere was back, came through beautifully. I was able to watch it on TV and it sounded fantastic. What was the experience like as a player?
Yeah, you know what? We haven't played in front of our fans in a very long time, and I think they didn't take it for granted because, you know, obviously the stadium wasn't full, but when we scored that final goal in the 84th minute, it did sound like a full Amy Park, and that's what the fans love. They love to see an entertaining, you know, last 20 minutes of the game, and they were fully behind us, and we've seen too many times other teams have that, you know, 12th man, if you want to call it, but we haven't had that in a long time, and I think on the weekend it showed that at some point you do need your fans, and the young players who came on really, really lifted from that.
Did you forget what it was like playing in front of a crowd?
Well, we played in a little bit of a crowd, obviously in the grand final, but they were a majority Sydney FC fans, so they were giving us crap, so it wasn't an ideal situation. But when you got the guys cheering for you, it's a whole new ball game. So it was great that, you know, they turned out in their numbers, and you know, even for the active support, they were loud as they can be. So it was great, and you know, hopefully a few more home games to come in the next few weeks.
Despite the unusual preparation which every sporting comp's had, 8 goals in 5 games, Jamie. You've hit the ground running. Why?
Oh, look, I think it's just me being in the right place at the right time. I think I my game's built on instinct, and you know, you saw even with the goal, you know, I knew that the ball was going to be played through the collar, and I've got to keep myself onside and make sure that I'm in the best place to score a goal, because I missed a chance 2 minutes earlier and I was kicking myself. So I always know I'll get chances, and I've got to be the one to be ready to tuck it away.
The style of football as well. Obviously, you hit the ground running last year when you returned to Melbourne, and we loved watching you through the entire A-League season, despite it being about 10 months long. The change in management with Paddy Kisnorbo, has your role changed or anything changed too much in the game style?
Oh, look, a little bit has changed. I think, obviously, with some new players coming in, they've got to adapt to a whole new style of play, which is not easy. And, you know, the certain amount of players that, you know, our club do sign are players that can fit the mould. And with PK coming in, you've seen the aggression side of us. We've already had 2 red cards. But that's something that he brings out in players, that he just wants them to be hungry. And even, you know, the fight that we went 1-0 down against Western United, and we came back and won 2-1. Maybe last year, I'm not sure if we win that game. But look, that's the way we're going to play this year. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to press them up high and force mistakes. And to be honest, not much has changed. But yeah, it's been enjoyable, and I think 2 wins from 3 games, if someone said that to us before the start of the season, we'd be happy with that.
Last year, obviously, you were up and down the border and stuck on tarmac, and it was just all over the shop. The experience of last year, how much has that helped bond the team? Because, well, you know, there's so many transfers within A-League seasons, and just to get that continuity with a fair bit of the squad sticking around from last year, how important is that going to be in this season?
Yeah, it's not just the players. I think even the staff that, you know, even the medical staff and the backroom staff that have stuck around, they were in the hub with us, you know, so we've all done the hard stuff to keep the game flowing, and, you know, we've all experienced what it's like to lose a grand final, and we said day one of pre-season this year is we don't want to feel like that again. We want to be the team that's leading the pack, and yeah, like I said, so far we've started quite well, but it's all about having that camaraderie within the squad and the boys that have been through the tough losses and the tough defeats that has made us stronger today. And yeah, there's been a whole new aggressive side to us that has come out, and yeah, it's been a fantastic start to the season.
Yeah, you talk about the aggressive side, and we do speak to Scotty Jamieson a fair bit on the show. Now, at training at Melbourne City, are there any fines or any sort of little punishments for a red card that the captain had to cop?
Well, it's funny. The fine master actually is our captain, so I might have to bring that up with him this morning, because, you know, it hasn't, you know, crossed my mind yet. But to be fair, a red card should be a fine. I mean, we get fined for leaving your flip flops in the shower, but you don't get fined for getting red carded. So I'll have to take that up with him this morning.
There's every chance he had a bad golf game the morning before the game.
That's every week.
Are you a golfer with him as well, Jamie? Because he used to have a couple of partners that have gone to other teams now.
Yeah, look, I think I play here and there. I'm not as keen as Jammer or as good as Nooney and Griffo and guys like that. But I'll have a hit once a month or so and enjoy the time with the boys, because it is good banter as well.
Now, Socceroos, we mentioned earlier, you know, World Cup next year. What's in the short term regarding Socceroos?
Yeah, look, to be honest, it's all in the air right now. I think, you know, obviously Arnie's coming out saying that we need help from the government because we've got a lot of home games and, you know, with the situation that we're allowed to have some sort of fan capacity at our home games, it would be huge for Aussie teams or our Socceroos to come and have, you know, foreign teams come here and really be up against it against us. And look, it's difficult. I don't know what for me, because if I was to be selected, obviously my form has to be warranted, but if I was selected, then I would go away and I would come back and I don't know if I'd be having to quarantine. These are the questions I don't know. And I think behind the scenes, they're getting worked through and there's meant to be games in March, I'm led to believe. So these are big World Cup qualifiers. They're not to be taken lightly and we need to win those games. So Arnie's pushing and I can only imagine the stress that's going through Arnie right now. And I don't envy him.
Yeah, it's interesting. We were talking about Daniel Azani a little bit earlier on the show. Of course, he's part of the City Football Group, owned by Manchester City, but loaned out to a few teams. He's not playing regular overseas football. Now, you did a couple of stints overseas after your initial success at Brisbane Roar, where you were a goal-scoring machine in the A-League. If you're not getting regular game time over there, how important is it to perhaps just make that plunge, come back home and get a good season in just to play some regular football?
Yeah, you know, you're spot on. I think Daniel's at a key age where you need to be playing games and you know, it's not good enough to say that you're playing in the second division or the youth team that they have over there, the second reserve team, but because it's not as competitive as playing against, you know, when you're playing for points, playing for all these sort of things. And I think, you know, it's a tough one because I know what it's like when you get the opportunity to head overseas. You want to try your luck. You want to, but it's not as clean cut as everyone thinks. You're just going to go over there and you're going to blitz it and all that sort of stuff. There's always challenges and hurdles that get thrown at you and language barriers. And now I know Daniel quite well, and he's a kid that wants to grow and improve as a player. And maybe, you know, once a coach has said to him that he's not in his plans, that, you know, it's a hard one for Daniel because, you know, he'll just want to play games and impress. And after a long knee injury, you know, he needs to come and play games. And I don't know if that means coming back to Melbourne, but he needs to go to a level or a place where he can play games because he's a fantastic player. And before you know it, you can have 2 or 3 years where you've only played a handful of games and that's not good for your development. And, you know, he's a player that needs to have games to show his skill.
Jamie, maybe you could just have a word to a few of the owners and get a bit of a loan deal back at Melbourne City. It'd be great to see him and yourself link up as part of the front three there. That would be sensational. Now, good luck for the upcoming matches. It's seriously great to have A-League back on our TV screens. It's been great watching it. Great to see crowds back and good luck over the next couple of weeks. I'm sure we'll touch base soon.
Yeah, I agree, guys. Thank you. Take care.
Now, Seb Gotcher's joined us on the line from the Melbourne Stars, and I'm keen to find out who is on the DJ duties at the Melbourne Stars. Seb Gotcher, good morning to you.
G'day, boys. How are we going?
We're going well. Now, who's on the music duties at the Stars? Do you get anything happening in the dressing rooms beforehand, or is it all pretty much headphones nowadays?
No, I think Adam Zampa usually control of all that.
He's a bit different, isn't he?
Yeah, you get some different music, I can tell you that much. But we usually have to hand our phones in before the game, so we don't really have any other option. He just he takes control and you have to listen.
So what does he play? I mean, I can imagine him being very alternative.
To be honest, a lot of the stuff that he plays, I don't really know what it is. So it's always new and it's always pretty fresh. So, he's his own man, and we love him that way.
Now, has he made you a coffee? Because we're all intrigued by his coffee-making skills that he showcased on the documentary last year, playing with Australia. Have you tasted any of his barista skills?
I haven't yet. I haven't been invited to his room. that's a bit disappointing, but I see boys floating in and out of there quite regularly. We don't really have much else to do in the hub, in the hotel. So he's given that machine a good workout, but I'm yet to be invited, so I might have to get on to him about that.
Absolutely. Do you feel like you've turned the corner just watching the last couple of games, the win over the Strikers, which was an absolute domination on Friday, and then at the MCG again against the Renegades, a comfortable enough win in the end. Do you feel like something's clicked over the last couple of games?
I'd like to say yes, but I think the nature of 2020 cricket, it just, things can swing so quickly, even during games, you can never be too confident. So I think whilst it's good to get those scrappy wins like we did the other night against the Renegades. They're the ones that set your season up. But the performance against the Strikers, I think a few guys can take some confidence and build into the end of the season. But it's just about trying to be consistent wherever we play, whoever we play against. It's trying to put a performance on the board that will allow us to compete with anyone. And I think you can say we're trying to turn a corner, but we're always really optimistic about our performance, and we know we can compete anyone on our day.
Now, Seb, talk to me about the Spice Man. He's been an intriguing man. For a while there, we're worried he was just there for his fielding, and then he went berserk against the Adelaide. What sort of a character is he off the field?
He's a fantastic man. I think you saw the emotion, not just from him, but from everyone when he got those runs the other night. He works really hard. I think it's the stuff that he does off the field for other people as well. He's really selfless. He's always throwing balls. He's always helping everyone else out. So, it would be very easy for an international to come over and not have the tournament that they wanted and start kicking cans and be pretty disappointed. But he just found other ways to make the group better. And, I think he's fantastic to have around. And we saw his skills the other night and how good he can be.
Do you keep in touch with a lot of these guys? Because they sort of come in and out for the Australian summer, but then, like, I don't know if you keep in touch with any of the guys who you've played with, but how much contact do you make with them, say, the Spice Man in 6 months' time? Or is it kind of just like shake hands at the end of the tournament, see you in a year, hopefully?
Yeah, it depends on who comes out and what they're like, I guess. I like to keep pretty close contact with everyone that's come through the Stars family, and I think we make a big point about that. We're not just teammates, we're friends off the field as well. So we've been really fortunate with the internationals that we've had. And I think they enjoy the Stars company more, so they're always reaching out and trying to get back involved somehow. So we'll see. 6 months' time, I don't know what Spice Man will be doing. But if he answers the call, I'll happily have a chat to him.
How was the skipper after his a couple of quacks in a row? How did the skipper handle those things, Maxie?
I think exactly like you'd think with Maxie. he's always pretty level. I think with someone like that, he knows he's one game away from doing something incredible. So that's probably why he's as good as he is. He can just forget those innings and move on to the next one. Whereas there's a few guys, if it was me, I'd be a bit more worried. He's got bigger jobs on his mind, and he's been a great captain for us. And whether he's doing something with the ball or with the bat, he's always helping us win. So we're really fortunate to have him on our side.
How much did he enjoy and you giggle when he bowled a slow half tracker to teammate Aaron Finch and bowled him?
I think he might have been a bit subdued in his celebration, but I know him and Finch are great mates, and cricket can be such a tough game sometimes. And, Finchie's a world-class player but hasn't quite been where he wants to be. So I think while Max was very happy to get him out and put us in a great position to win the game, I think he definitely felt for him a little bit. Finchie's a star. Hopefully he can have one more bad performance and then turn things around for the rest of the season. But, it was a handy wicket to get early.
Seb, how good was it to be back at the MCG? You took an absolute specky as well. It's the first overhead mark we've seen at the MCG in a long time behind the stumps. How good was it to be back there?
It was great. It was a regulation catch for most people, but I put a little bit of mayo on it. But it's great to be back at the gym. I think we get a little bit of an advantage by there. There's some areas of the ground that you can expose, and the wicket does some funny things. So I think when teams come there, they need to spend a couple of overs trying to adapt to that, and that's where we can sort of take an advantage. But it was great. I think the limit is 15,000 at games, but the atmosphere was electric. Just having our fans back was great. So hopefully they can keep coming along. And we've got another derby at Wednesday at Marvel, and then back at the G for a few more games. So hopefully we can keep packing out and keep winning games.
Do you get to train at the G as well, or is that all done off-site?
No, we're training at the G today, and we have been over the last couple of weeks. The wickets have been diabolical out the back in the training facilities. So I've just been opting out to face any bowlers. But hopefully they make some changes and get some good ones up. But, it's always nice diving into the MCG for a training session.
Now, the short sleeves, mate, what's the latest with the feedback? You've created a stir in the last 12 months. You're still sticking fat?
Yeah, I've got to stick to it now. Every time I come off the ground, I just check Twitter and I've got messages of abuse. But I think the more I do it, the more people hate it, the more I just have to get going now. I've backed myself into a corner.
What is the theory? Why do wicketkeepers think they need the full... Like, I'm with you. I don't understand why you can't do what you've done.
It does look horrible. When I watch, when I watch on TV and look at myself, I can understand what people are saying, but it's just become routine now. I can't get away from it. It doesn't feel right.
Now, Maxie's taken up a fair few of the microphone opportunities this year on field. Is that something... So when he's standing, say, at mid-on or whatever, can you hear him talking to the broadcasters and guiding us through what he's doing as captain? Or do you just so are you just so focused you tune out to that in-between balls?
Yeah, not really. I think when I see Max on the mic... It's sort of a time where I have to stand up and get the angles right in the field, being the keeper.
Yep.
He's got so many things on his mind, and he's having to worry about power surge when they take that, the bowlers, who you're going to bowl, the score, everything. And then, you know, when the commentators come over the top, I can't imagine how hard that would be. So when you're out there, you just try and look for little ways that you can help each other. And Max, having such a big job, I think everyone sort of puts their hand up when they can and just chips in with something different here and there.
Seb, looking forward to watching the Stars in action tomorrow night at Marvel Stadium. Hopefully you can get the points and hopefully move towards securing a final spot this season. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, boys. Have a good day.
RSN Summer Breakfast Club.